Hi and welcome to Outspoken. You're joined by journalists Amy, Sophie and Kate Torber. Now today we've decided to dub our episode He's Just Not That Into You. So today we're going to dissect what we've all learnt about the dating world now we're 30 and hopefully give an insight into how you can find a nice man after putting up with some dickheads. And I'm sure we can all relate to that, can't we? Putting up with dickheads, especially you, Kate.
Very much so. Not currently, obviously, in the past.
So we're going to be dissecting a few topics and, of course, we're going to share, I suppose, some pretty embarrassing stories along the way. I thought we should first start off by addressing some signs that maybe he's just not that into you. I feel like when you're 20, you Google all these things. Oh, why doesn't he like me? What should I do?
Sophie just opening up about her past Google searches.
I feel like everyone does it, though. Well, what are some of these signs?
Well, I think a major one that I've learned along the way is if you're the one initiating all of the dates.
Yeah, definitely.
Been there, done that many times. It's the worst feeling because I feel like they initiate the first date and then, you know, you have a few good dates. And then this always seems to happen to me. I'm then the one sort of setting up the dates and sort of having to be on their back about it.
I think that's quite common though. I've seen a lot of people and heard a lot of people talking about how they'll have this amazing date and then the guy will just basically ghost them or they'll have to do all of the chasing.
Do you guys think it's a power play in the early, you know, in the start of a relationship or is it just someone that's not into you?
At the time I thought it was. I thought, oh, you know, this is just the normal back and forth because it's happened quite a bit to me. But now that I'm actually in a good relationship and that shit didn't go on at the start, I actually do think it's a sign that the person isn't into you or that they've got other options and you're not very high up on those options.
Yeah, that's the thing. If a man really likes you, he's going to want to see you all the time. He's going to be wanting to come up with nice dates and things to do. And at the time, if you do like someone, you do want to believe that there must be a reason that they're always busy, that, you know, maybe they don't have any date ideas.
Well, it's a pretty obvious sign, you know, when they go like hours and hours without replying, because let's be honest, everyone's got their phone super glued to their hands.
Yeah. Well, what are the other signs?
Well, I mean, this seems pretty obvious, but maybe not when you're 20, that if he's not interested in things you do or like, and quite frankly, the only thing he's interested in is sex.
It's a pretty big sign that he's only looking for one thing. What else have we got?
Well, another major sign, and it does sound pretty obvious, is that he's never done anything nice for you whatsoever.
Sounds like my whole, like, 4 to 5 year relationship with my ex-boyfriend.
And I think it is hard when maybe you don't feel great about yourself. You don't expect these things. I think as you grow older, you do expect more out of a relationship and you just think someone meeting up with you is enough.
Well, I'm going to put it out there. It's slightly embarrassing, but at 30 years of age, well, actually, I was 29, I received my first and only ever Valentine's Day flowers from my now boyfriend.
And that is despite having a boyfriend for 5 years?
Yeah, yeah.
And why was that? He didn't believe in Valentine's Day?
I don't know. He's just a dickhead. And, you know, this guy also forgot my birthday.
That's a pretty big one.
And then he was in Melbourne. We were doing long distance at the time. He was in Melbourne. And then he decided that he would come over for my birthday party, which was the week after my birthday. And I chipped in for the flights for him to come across. And he didn't bring me a birthday present and said, oh, me coming across was your birthday present.
Oh, my God.
Then proceeded to ruin my birthday.
Now, I'm not
party.
He also never gave you a compliment, did he? Like, not one.
But do you think that's what made you like him more? The fact that sometimes when you were together, he, you know, when he was slightly nice, it felt so good to get that reassurance or, you know, well, not reassurance, but for him to actually be nice because he was so awful most of the time.
Yeah, I suppose it's hard to reflect on because, you know, it sort of is pretty an indictment of you when you're talking about these things that you used to put up with. But he was my first boyfriend and this was coming off the back of, you know, not a great time at high school, confidence being pretty low. So it really was a case of, yeah, I hadn't experienced anything different. So it was kind of like, oh, you know, I can change him and, you know, I'll get this tiny little nice bit of him and then it just gets taken away. So I think it was more of a toxic, continuous.
Well, that's the thing as well, because in our society, it seems quite unusual, especially when you're in your early 20s, for men to actually want to be in a relationship. And I think a lot of them display that kind of player behavior. So it does make you feel special when they've chosen to spend their time with you. And I feel like you just get used to being treated that way because that's all you've ever known.
I suppose one big red flag that I picked up on was the fact that my ex-boyfriend had such a reluctancy to call me his girlfriend. Like, it literally took, I don't even know, what was it, like 2 years? It's an indictment on me, but...
And do you know what? I've noticed that on a lot of reality shows that some of these stunning people will go on and they'll say, oh, I've never had a boyfriend or a girlfriend before. And people look at them like they're weird. But I feel like because people are in that mindset where they just want to be players and not settle down, that it is rare to find a boyfriend that wants to. Well,
I think as Leanne from Love Island put it, she's been in lots of situationships, but not actual relationships. And it's so true because you can date these people for so long and there's just like no label, you know, you just go with the flow and you don't want to actually ask. Like, it's such an awkward thing to be like, oh, so are we like boyfriend and girlfriend?
It's almost like a proposal these days, yes. Asking someone to be your girlfriend. It's so funny because my now boyfriend, Brandon, he didn't realize that he had to ask me to be his girlfriend. Like, that's
what
the thing.
Mean?
I said to him, well, we had the discussion of what we were. And he's like, oh, I automatically assumed that I was your boyfriend because we'd been hanging out for a few weeks.
Look,
and that was shocking for me because...
Yeah, your situation was different because you literally became boyfriend and girlfriend after the first date, really, which is so unusual.
It was after a few weeks, but that had been... that came off the back of dating someone who for 3 months didn't want to call me their girlfriend or make any sort of title. And then he had some elaborate, you know, brought me this bunch of flowers to ask me to be his girlfriend. So I don't know.
You mean in your previous relationship?
Yeah.
But I feel like it's just an excuse to talk to other girls without putting a label on it.
To be fair, I think it's different if you've known the person, as in Sophie previously was sort of in a friend sort of, she knew her boyfriend.
Well, have we explained how Sophie met Brandon?
No, I don't think so.
So, funnily enough, Brandon used to be my intern when I was working at the Thunderbirds. We've all joked that Sophie's a cougar. So he's 5 years younger.
He's not, he's 4 and a half.
Oh my God.
He is.
But you're turning 31 and he's currently 26.
Yeah, but his birthday's in October, my birthday's in March.
So, okay, sorry, 4.5 years younger. Anyway,
so I was also premature.
Grasping at straws.
Anyway, so yeah, when I was the comms manager at Thunderbirds, Brandon was my intern and he went on to get a full-time job. And then we moved actually and worked together full-time for another, 3 years in total? The 36ers.
So Kate was literally his work wife and then Sophie is just...
Not wife. No, I had a different work husband.
Yeah,
Adam,
but anyway,
Cowles.
It's
quite funny. So Brandon one day was like, he saw Sophie at a Thunderbirds game and was like, oh, your sister's hot. And like, we're identical. I was like, this is a bit awkward. I was like, yeah. Anyway, so he literally from the moment he saw Sophie at the game had eyes only for her.
He did tell me that when he first saw me at the stadium that he fell in love with me then.
Can I just add in?
Well, that it was love at first sight. Sorry.
Can I add in? I'm highly offended because I met Brandon before Sophie as your sister. Mm. And we hung out and we actually had a lot in common, as in we all love video stuff. I wasn't interested at all. But
I love that. I love that.
No one was interested, but offended.
I wasn't interested at all. But, you know, it worked out well that he was interested in Sophie, but he never said any of that stuff about me.
Well, I copped it so much at work because everyone just thinks it was so funny that, like, Brandon was working with me full-time but then dating Sophie. And there were so many times when I had to be like, look, we're not dating. He's dating my sister.
I think from there, Sophie, you should explain your first date with Brandon.
We'd been talking for a few weeks. And it was kind of awkward because he had told Kate a lot about his ex-girlfriend and he had been with this girl for 4 years. And basically she dumped him over Facebook.
Over Facebook?
Over Facebook, yep. I mean, they were pretty young at the time. And
so there are girls out there that are obviously really mean to boys as well.
Yeah, so she led him on for a few months that, you know, maybe she'd want to get back with him. And then she invited him to her house and to tell him that she had a new boyfriend. So
this was while she was like kind of dating him again.
well, they, I don't, I'm not really, they've kind of been talking on and off.
Yeah.
Anyway, and he backed that up by telling her that he was engaged. I told him that I don't think she ever would have believed that.
Well, the best bit was this got really crazy. So when Brandon and I were working together, we had to go down to the airport and there were some Thunderbirds international players that were arriving in Adelaide. It was like 8 o'clock at night. So we had to film them arriving and interview them. And the funniest things happen. We're standing at the international gate and all of a sudden, Brandon's ex-girlfriend is getting off a flight from Europe. And Brandon's like, oh my God. And at the same time, obviously, these two Thunderbirds players are walking off. So Brandon's trying to film and the ex-girlfriend walks straight up and tries to hug him. And I was like, keep filming, keep filming. So he has to shrug this girl off. And she's probably thinking, oh, he's come to see me. Like maybe he wants to get back with me. And then the funniest thing was he then had to go talk because her parents were there, go talk to them. And then he came back over to me and my friend Adam. And as he's walking up, he puts his arm around my shoulder and goes, just don't say anything, keep walking. So he told them that I was his fiance. And it's so funny because we've got this like love, hate, brother, sister relationship where like we don't touch each other, like obviously at all. Like we just don't want it to be near each other. And I was like, get off me. And it was just, it was just like a TV show. Like you couldn't even come up with this shit.
Well, that night we'd only been talking at this stage and he messages me to say, you're my fiance now. So we had this on running joke that I was the girl, even though it was Kate, who he'd been now like engaged to, whatever. So it already was a bit full on at that stage when we started speaking. And anyway, he told me he was over in Bali and I thought, oh, he's in Bali. He probably won't speak to me much. Spoke to me 24/7. And he told me that he had 3 tiers of dates that he takes girls on. And it's pretty funny because we went to read these messages back like on our anniversary and we were just both like cringing.
Sorry, but you would have to scroll back a fair while.
I was going to say, I remember after, like when you guys had been dating for a while, going out for a while, literally his date was just like sitting and eating food in his room. what tier is that?
Food. So what food was that?
A Porto. He did say there were 3 levels of dates. I had to go back to find them. He said one was chilled. Then that's not
is that
bad.
Is that like Netflix and chill?
Well, he said chilled is like your average movie night, not bad.
Is that what you do every night now?
YouTube night. His second one is kind of like a dessert night and a nice walk and whatnot. And then the other one.
Whatnot bit, that's so branded.
And the other one is the extravagant one that you have to see to believe. So
did you go extravagant? Was that the one that you
selected the extravagant date? Mm-hmm. And Am I boring everyone shitless or am I continuing on this? Or?
I think people want to hear what the extravagant date was.
Or should we tell it from our point of view?
Yeah, maybe we should. So from Kate and my perspective, it was all a bit of fun, wasn't it? Because we knew Brandon before and we just thought it was hilarious that they were actually going on a date together.
The best bit was at our house that we were living at the time, it was like this really fancy house. I missed that house so much. And it had one of those cameras out the front where you could see the person waiting at the door when they rang the doorbell. So Amy and I like sprinted over and I've actually got it on my Snapchat. We filmed Brandon at the door. And then we were like, hello, come in, brother. And it's so funny because our house, I look back at that Snapchat, it was an absolute tip. Yeah. Like how embarrassing. Anyway, well, poor Brandon's come in and, you know, Sophie and him have gone off. And we were like, being immature as we were like, oh, I want to find out like what they're doing, where they're going. So they started Snapchatting us like a few little clues here and there. Anyway, so if you can tell us what actually happened and then we'll follow up with what happened with us.
It was pretty cute because apparently he'd taken his mum and dad and sister to scope out some of the locations. And I think
that just blows my mind.
And then his mum and sister had a bit of a hand in helping him organize food. Anyway, so
didn't they cut up a bunch of fruit?
Yeah. Anyway, I arrived in the car. And what's funny now is his car is an absolute shit tip. Like nowadays I can't even get I have to put my feet on like bottles and fucking rubbish. Anyway, his car was immaculately clean. I hopped in the car and he handed me a golf ball and said, oh, you've got to guess where we're going. mini golf. Anyway, so he took me to mini golf, which ended up being closed. So he had to think quickly.
Didn't think about that one through.
He had to think quickly on his feet. So he went to mini golf at Glenelg. We then went for a little beach stroll and he had come up with some questions to ask one another. So
my God.
Anyway. And
hang on. He came up with questions and whipped them out.
Wow.
Then, this is like a Love Island date or
then
something.
Then he
he asked me if I wanted to get ice cream down at Glenelg, but we hadn't had dinner yet. So I'm like, I felt bad. I didn't want him spending all his money. And I'm like, no, that's fine. Anyway, then we drive back. He heard that margarita pizza was my favorite food. We went and picked up margarita pizza.
Sorry, can I just add, I loved that he had asked Kate what your favorite food was, and it was pizza and Nutella.
Oh, I forgot about that. Anyway, so then he drives up to this lookout area near his house, and he opened the back of his ute, and he'd set up all these like pillows and blankets and chairs and like a little like kind of his laptop with movies on it. And then he had an esky full of Nutella, which he bought a spoon because there's a joke that I just eat Nutella like a pig with a spoon.
Well, it's not a joke. You do.
Anyway, and yeah, so that was pretty much the really cute date he took me on. Well, and he won me over with that.
It gets more interesting. So we found out about said date, and we've been sent a Snapchat of
the lookout.
The location. So Amy and my two cousins, my adult cousins, who are 6'5" and two, we decided that we were going to go see if we could do a drive-by. And we also got my friend Adam, who's 6'5", in the car. So we're in little Mazda 2.
Just to put it in perspective, Adam is a father of three and has a wife. And he skipped out on...
Well, he said Joe was asleep, so he'll come and join us. So we picked him up. Anyway, the car's absolutely packed to the brims. And our cousin was like, yeah, I know where that is. Anyway, so it was bloody miles away and we found them. And so we were like, oh, fuck. Like, you know that moment where you're like, oh, God, like, if they see us, they're going to get so mad. So we yelled out something. I can't even remember what. Then we drove off, but we'd snapped a photo. Anyway, they had no idea that we were there. And it only came out later that we'd been there. And it's just this on-running joke. So to pay me back, I went on a date and they bloody all turned up and scoped out the restaurant until I walked out. It was so embarrassing.
Oh, I remember that down at Henley Beach.
Yeah.
It was so good. And we got this amazing Snapchat of you exiting the date and everyone was like laughing in the background.
Oh, that was
I didn't
so
even think
mean.
You saw us though.
No, well, the worst bit was I knew you'd do something like that. But you know when you're like, you can feel like you're being watched, but you don't know where you are. Where they are.
Well, talking about different levels of dates, I think we've all had dates that haven't gone too well. Kate, I know you have a few stories about those.
Well, I've been a mug that thought, you know, it's nice to put on a dinner. So actually, I've got two. There was one guy that I invited over for dinner and you guys actually helped clean up the Christmas. I think it was February and the Christmas tree was still up.
Both Christmas trees.
But we had two Christmas trees. Anyway, so Amy and Sophie Connolly, when I was at work, packed all the Christmas decorations, cleaned the whole house, made spaghetti, you know, really put an effort in.
And Sophie and I exited the house.
Yeah,
as well.
So they were over at Mum and Dad. So everyone knew that this dinner date was going on. The guy rocks up, eats, and then told me
he rocked up late as well.
Yeah, rocked up late. Told me he had a movie on. So stayed for, I think it was 45 minutes and then left. And didn't even invite me to the movie that he was seeing with people that I knew.
That is so rude.
It was so rude. And then another one was, there was another guy. And this was more perplexing because he'd taken me out on all these quite decent dates to nice restaurants and movies and paid for the bill and all that. So I was like, oh, well, I'm going to show that, you know, I'm putting in an effort and I'll make him dinner. So,
and isn't that what every guy wants?
Yeah. So again, Amy and Sophie had got, you know, we're going to leave the house, and they actually, we went shopping, and I always get a bit embarrassed planning things. So I felt awkward, you know, picking out the food. Anyway, the day of the date comes and I messaged him saying, oh, so what time are you coming? Oh, sorry, I've got something on. And I was just I remember walking down and I was like, fuck this, this is bullshit, how embarrassed, I was more I didn't really care, it was just more that I was embarrassed.
That's right, it is embarrassing when you've told all your family or friends about this person and you do feel like such a mug.
I think that's half the reason why you do the, you know, when you're not getting as many messages back, that's when you do start you've got a bit of pressure on you because people know about it. So you're like, oh, I'm sure there's some sort of misunderstanding why they're not replying. It's not because they're not interested.
Well, back to first dates. Who do you guys think should pay? Do you think you should split the bill, or do you think the guy should pay, or do you think whoever initiated the date should pay?
We're obviously all feminists, but I think there is something kind of romantic still about a man offering to pay for you.
At the same time, I feel like you should, as a woman, offer to pay half, but there should be one offer to pay half and that should be shot down.
Yeah. I think, I mean, it does, as you said, depend who initiated the date, but you know, I think just, you know, so that chivalry is still alive, I think the guy should say, no, I'll get it. The girl should say, oh no, are you sure? And then they go, yep. And then I think it's fair that in a second or third date, you should pay for something.
Or even if you go to the movies, if he pays, then you pay for the popcorn or drinks or something.
When you're actually in a serious relationship, I think that's totally different. I think that, you know, for me, I like to be equal in my relationships and I don't expect Reese to buy all my dinners and stuff. Like, that would just be ridiculous.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's the start of a relationship when someone's trying to woo you and win you over.
What about when a girl might earn more than a boy? Do you think that it's different then, that she should pay?
I don't feel it's different, but I feel like if you earn a lot more money than someone, perhaps don't be suggesting to go to like 4-course meals and, you know, maybe go somewhere
five course meals.
Yeah. Or somewhere that's like within their budget.
I think it definitely depends on the lifestyle people are used to. So I think if you're like loaded and your partner's not, I think that you should sort of let them dictate the dates as well. And then if you want to do something particularly nice and you're the one earning more, then I think it would be okay to pay the way for that date.
Do you know what though? When I think of first dates, it just takes me back to, you know, being in your early 20s and going on like those cringe coffee dates at Chibo.
Yeah.
And I remember going out, I went on a few dates with this prison guard of all occupations and the date didn't kind of, you know, when it, so we went for a coffee date. We then went to the movies and then it went back to the coffee date.
What?
Yeah.
You went back to coffee?
No, I'm saying like the first date was a coffee
date. Progress.
Yeah, it didn't progress at all.
Yeah.
And you know, when you're kind of like, oh, I feel like this is a first date situation where you get to like know someone and know if you want to spend any more money or.
Have you ever heard of those people who they'll do so many elaborate dates? And I think it's because they've got nothing to talk about that they need to be doing something. I think if you can have coffee or multiple dinners with somebody and you've got heaps to talk about, I think that's a good sign that this relationship is going somewhere.
Yeah, well, one of the points I came across for someone not being into you was someone not making an effort. And I suppose that comes into dates as well. And I remember you were particularly put off, Amy, when I think it was a second or third date and the guy rocked up to your house in grey tracksuit pants, my most hated of tracksuit pants.
Yes. This particular person also didn't like chocolate. They liked cheese better. What? So I'd put on a cheese board and they rocked up in track pants. So I wasn't very impressed. I don't think there was a third date after that.
I think even if you're like, it's nice for people to feel comfortable around you, but I don't really think you should be rocking up to someone's house in tracksuit pants date three.
Well, that's a good question. What are some deal breakers for everyone?
Well, you know, from past relationship, it seems like I didn't really have any, but, you know, now that I've got a bit more respect for myself, cheating would be a deal breaker.
Well, I got broken up with because one guy's deal breaker was that he liked to argue in a relationship. So I'd only been going out with
you would have been good at that.
Yeah, I know, he should have waited to get to know me. We'd only been going out for 3 weeks and like we caught up most nights during those 3 weeks. He was pretty full on.
And how many texts? Wasn't it some ridiculous, like 3,000 text messages or something?
Oh, something crazy. Anyway.
Over what period?
Three weeks.
3 weeks. Oh, my God.
Anyway, I don't think it was that many, but it was a fair few. And anyway, so he told me that his mum was 10 years older than his dad and that, you know, I got the vibe that he likes a woman to tell him what to do. And anyway, I was heading over to his house for dinner and to watch a movie, but I felt like something was up. Like, you know, when you met the person isn't messaging back as much.
Yeah.
Anyway, I get there and you know, when you've got the vibe that someone doesn't even want you there, he was hanging up his washing on the line. And, yeah, so then he just stands at the kitchen bench while I'm sitting on the table and tells me, oh,
you're sitting sorry, on a table.
I was sitting on the lounge. Anyway, he starts the conversation by telling me after 3 weeks that he can't see himself marrying me and that I'm not argumentative and he loves to have a fiery relationship where he argues with his girlfriend. And I mean, I thought, well, I don't really have much to argue with you about. But then it turned out that his ex-girlfriend also worked in the newsroom we were at that time. And she was a very fiery character and told him to break up with me. So there was a bit more to that story. But
maybe he was trying to like initiate a fight and seeing your reaction. Like if you'd been like, fuck you. I wonder if he'd be like, stay with me.
I told Brandon that story now. And he's like, God, he should have got to know you a bit longer.
I know. That's a funny thing. When Sophie, because I was in Melbourne at the time dealing with my own drama. And when Sophie rang me, I was like, does he even know you? It's quite funny. Well, it's funny now to laugh. It wasn't funny at the time.
Well, it is interesting the vibes that you can actually be putting across that you don't realize. Because when I started going out with Dale, he actually thought, I think it's called negging. That's what he told me. It's where negging. it's where you give, like, you don't really give that person very much. And it's like sort of makes
more like
them
closed want- off.
It's kind of like you ghost them a bit, but it makes you, you know, treat them mean, keep them keen.
So you were doing this.
I do remember Amy going on her first date with Dale, and Kate had
Dale, as if you'd forgotten.
Kate had left. What did you? You were on a date with someone else, and I was like, oh yeah, Amy's going on a date. I've got the house to myself. I invited Brandon over, and we're going to make dinner. Anyway, you lost it because you didn't want us to, like, see you leaving for your first date in, like, the clothes that you'd picked out. Like, you were very embarrassed
about it. I remember getting a phone call about it. Sophie's such a bitch. Like, I just, I don't know why everyone has to be in each other's business the whole time.
But to be fair, that happened with me. I had to go down on a date and I was like,
Yeah, that's what I mean. The reaction, I was like, oh, where are you going?
You're such a hypocrite, though, because you rocked up on my first date.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, moving on. This wasn't on the first date, but we'd had a few dates, and I remember we went to play mini golf, and
he... Is that like the hot spot in Adelaide, a bit of mini golf?
And he just assumed that we were hanging out for dinner, but I had plans with you guys and my cousins, and he thought that was me trying to blow him off.
Remember,
and not
you brought him
out.
Around, and it was so awkward?
Yeah. Well, I didn't know what to do. Anyway.
To be honest, you are quite hard to read sometimes.
Well, I think it made him really like me. So, girls, there's a tip out there. Act a bit cold. But the thing is, he sort of kind of, he'd been messaging me a lot, and then he kind of cooled off on the messaging. So I was like, oh, shit. So I messaged him and asked if he wanted to catch up because it was his birthday. And I remember, Kate, you were like, for fuck's sake, Amy, don't let this slip out of your hands. You need to do a nice gesture. So I ended up making him this enormous chocolate cake, and I got him a little present. I got him a sushi maker. So we made sushi at his house. And I think that's when he realized that he really, really liked me. And that's when I got an invite to his friend's birthday.
Sometimes
so I feel like
you do.
I feel like you need to sort of be cool, but then not too cool that they just don't.
Yeah, you've got to be willing to put your feelings on the line and make
I feel like it's not like you have to be like, oh, I really like you. You just have to do have to do some gestures which show you actually care.
Well, we should probably also talk about a few red flags, because in my first relationship, there were some massive red flags that I didn't really take much notice of. The first was probably my ex-boyfriend's 21st birthday, and that was a memorable night that is still being spoken about to this very day.
I've got vision of it. It would go off on YouTube if I could be bothered to upload it.
Now, what should have been the first red flag for me? He was wearing a top hat with a monocle and had arranged to be riding in a horse and cart with his friends.
What is it, his wedding?
He didn't ask me to be in the horse and cart with his friends.
First red flag.
The second would be that he invited girls that he had been with previously to the party.
Second red flag.
The third red flag was that he got increasingly drunk throughout the night, where he couldn't really even hold a sentence. And this was the first time my parents were meeting his parents. It then got increasingly worse. So it came to the 21st speeches, and I had a little feeling that they weren't going to be so great. He was worried that his friends were going to tell some embarrassing stories.
Can I just interject? So, you know, there's like a ding, 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 like the speeches are on, and they wheel his grandmother up in a wheelchair, so she's nice and close to hear the speeches.
Right near the speaker.
That's right. So they unfolded by the friends revealing his nickname was Anaconda. Another new nickname I hadn't heard of was Fish Fingers. We can all use our imagination there. They then proceeded to point out girls in the crowd that he'd slept with.
What about the wheelie bin one?
Revealed that he had sex in a rubbish bin. Revealed that he had slept with two girls whilst we were dating at the time. That was a fun one to find out as well.
In front of your parents
and
then
siblings. They also said that he really has a thing for girls called Sophie, because he used to date another girl called Sophie.
That's lovely to
lovely
bring
to
up.
Individual, you know, point you out in the crowd too. And the evening ended with our mother being called a MILF and me having to take him home with his own mother and to lie him down on his single bed and undress him from his tuxedo.
I think you should clear that up, that your ex-boyfriend didn't call Mum a MILF, just his friends did.
No, yes, just his
and
friends.
And then we had to explain to Mum what a MILF meant.
I think she was
secretly wrapped. Mm-hmm. And to top it off, this 21st birthday cost his family $10,000.
Are you serious?
Yeah,
well, it was probably for, the alcohol he drank.
For anyone in
$10,000.
Yeah, so it was a memorable night. And the worst thing was, me being a nice girlfriend and a mug, I felt really sorry for him instead of being angry. And I went home the next day and wrote a 21st speech about all the lovely things he had achieved and how lovely he was.
Wow.
Yep.
Well, I've got mug written across my face because I've got another red flag that I wanted to bring up, which is your boyfriend, or sorry, the guy that you're dating, treating his mum like shit.
Hmm.
So the guy that I was with, his mum was lovely and she basically did everything for him. And, you know, he was, I think, like 28 at the time. And I'd moved across to Melbourne to live with him, and we used to go to his family's house about once every Sunday or, you know, every weekend for dinner. He would get there and act like a child and sit on the couch while his mum fussed over him.
Isn't that so unattractive when people act like children in front of their parents? Oh,
and it was like she got – so I found this funny. So she would pour him – like she'd make tea and then she would like wait to get it to the perfect temperature, like putting – cold water and, you know, just making sure it was light. Did the tea bag, pass it over, and I'm like, oh my god, I'm like, I can do my own tea anyway. So I
remember, wait, she did that for your tea?
She did it for me too. Yeah.
And you were saying for them?
No, he did. And I remember one particular night she, you know, slaved over and, you know, made the meals that they'd requested, and she was started on the dishes, which no one helped her with, and except me, I think I offered. And then they're watching some crap on TV and the, you know, the mum's knocking the pans around. They go, would you shut up? And I was like, oh my god. And then there was also this other instance where we were going to Noosa and his mum had to come over and help him pack. And she was like, he's like, oh, have I got everything I need? She's like, you've got your stockies, you've got your jocks, you've got your this, you got your this. And I'm like, what the fuck?
Do you know what? I feel like some mums do such a disservice to their sons, because you might think that that's really nice for them to have done that when they're growing up, but it ruins them for when they're in a relationship. Like, I must say, I think Dale had to do a lot for himself growing up. His mum was obviously lovely, but she taught him how to do things for himself, and he's so good about, you know, ironing and cooking. It's those guys that you don't want to end up with, the ones that their mum's done everything.
I think it's also their dads too, because Reese's dad is like amazing, and his mum, he's both got beautiful parents, and his dad does a lot of the cooking because he loves it, and I like Reese's picked up on that and is so good around the house, so it does make a difference.
My ex-boyfriend's mum would iron things perfectly. When we went overseas, she literally ironed every bit of clothing and somehow folded it up in a way so that it stayed like perfect.
Did she iron his underpants?
Yeah, she ironed everything. His jocks, tea towels.
Weren't they all Y-front white ones? Is that what they were?
Sorry, do you know what you just reminded me of? You know, we're talking about mothers and their sons. Remember that Amy Schumer stand-up bit? And she's like, you get those mothers that are like too over the top, and they're like, oh, I wanted to fuck my own son. I don't know if those mums were that kind of mum, but
no.
You definitely hear about them. The ones where the new girlfriend's never good enough.
Well, a theory I've heard is that it ends up that you actually want your son to date someone like you that has the same sort of qualities as you. Moving on to another red flag, this one emerged, you know, again in this past hideous relationship. Boys that then compliment girls in front of you. So I was out at the ESPY having dinner, and my boyfriend at the time decided to tell me that the bartender behind the bar was an 11 out of 10.
How would anyone think that that was acceptable?
But then proceeded in front of our work colleagues to give me a 4.5 out of 10.
What?
Like, this was prior. Like, this was all a, you know.
What? Oh my god.
Where's the half come from as
well? This same individual, I have to tell this story because it's actually hilarious. I don't know how this came about, but so when Kate was going out with this person, this guy actually lived at his workplace. So they had a bedroom for him to stay in. And when he left to go to Melbourne, some of the staff got left to sort of pack up his room, and they discovered a Polaroid
I had it. Not that it was given to me, but it was amongst some stuff that I had been given, like this book of old photos,
right.
And it kind of like fell out of the pages.
Yeah. And let's just say this Polaroid was a picture of him with his dick in his hand,
Well, he like, wasn't in it. It was just that? The dick. It wasn't.
No. That's real vintage, though. Like, you know, that's before mobile phones.
Well, the most hilarious thing was is that when Kate was moving out of
my like
house,
recently, like we've been broken up for what, like 3.5 years.
Yeah. So Kate had been nice and kept this box of his stuff, and I don't think he'd ever had that thing where you handed stuff back because he's still in Melbourne. And so I remember Kate was moving out recently, and we found the box, and the Polaroid was still in there, and I was like, oh my god! And I remember. Just because I'm a bit of a shit stirrer, I stuck it on the fridge, and I had this hilarious magnet that I got on holiday that's of an ice cream cone, and I put it over his private part, and I remember I said to I literally just put it up to see if Kate noticed that it was on the fridge, and then I said to our cousin, oh, could you go over and pick up that magnet for me? And he was like, ah.
Yeah, the said Polaroid has now been destroyed and thrown out with the rest of his crap that I held on to. But I never received my beautiful bedspread back, and I'm still pissed off about that.
Do you sometimes think when people do that whole breakup thing and they hand stuff back, do you think sometimes it's psychological warfare what people put in the boxes?
Oh, it's definitely a big fuck you.
I've actually never been given anything back that I gave anyone.
I actually sold a necklace on Marketplace, this Gucci necklace that I got, which was very out of character, let me say, because as I said, he forgot my birthday several times or didn't give me a gift.
Do you know what's hilarious? Because my boyfriend's been engaged before, and when he moved in with me, he came with all this beautiful, like beautiful pots and pans and stuff. And I was like, what are these from? And he's like, they're from our engagement party, but we never used them. I was like, oh, that's all right.
My ex-boyfriend gave me nothing of worth to sell. I remember one Christmas he's like, oh, you will not believe what mum's got you, you won't believe it.
I didn't believe it.
I open up this small little package and it's this chicken.
Can you put it on the Instagram story?
And the only thing that was kind of cute about it was that his mum collected them, so she wanted me to start my own collection. But
why would he find that so interesting?
I have no idea.
Maybe he thought
it
was like sentimental. I got a great Christmas present from said dickhead ex-boyfriend. It was so thoughtful. He handed over a bag which had some wrapping paper and a card that he was meant to do with a bracelet his mum had bought me. And he didn't even wrap it in the paper, the card that had been provided. That's currently on sale on Marketplace too, if anyone wants
really,
it.
Really?
Yeah,
it?
Yeah. Had a few requests.
Well, my ex-boyfriend, the last birthday we celebrated together, and then he dumped me like about a week and a half later, he bought you
no,
two.
No, that was after your holiday in Thailand.
Yeah, that was after my birthday. Anyway, he bought you guys a waffle machine, which he wrapped, and then he bought me two teacups, which were not wrapped. Oh, and a very cold card with a cat on it.
Talking about funny things boys do, I remember Dale had me over to his house, and I think he was meant to be impressing me by cooking me dinner, which was very sweet. And I remember he made sort of handmade pizzas. They were on a bought pizza place, but, you know, he
made the own toppings.
That's right. And it was so hilarious because he's like, no, I'll sit and make the stuff. And he had me watching him. And first thing he did, he cracked an egg onto the pizzas to cook. And I was like, oh my God.
What, on the tomato sauce or?
Yeah, like that was the last thing he cracked the egg over it because he really loves egg. It actually was quite yummy. And then it's funny, he brought the pizzas out and he just got these scissors and just starts cutting the pizzas up as if it was so normal.
So were
they
kitchen scissors?
With kitchen scissors. Mm. And I was like, this is so funny. This is like bachelor pad style living.
Wow. God, I think we could go on all afternoon.
Geez, I feel so bad because there's someone that wrote in to say that they eat a Malteser every time we mention our boyfriend. So I'm sorry, you would have gone through about 20 packets
there. How good are Maltesers? We're just giving them what they want.
Yeah. If you have enjoyed today's episode, we'd love you to send in some of your own dating questions, and we probably will do a follow-up episode of what it's actually like once you've secured the boyfriend and then the reality of living with them.
We also were contemplating whether we should get our boyfriends on the show for their point of view.
Maybe we'll put a poll up on the Instagram page as to whether our boyfriend should appear on the show. There might be a lot of bribery going on to get them on.
I was going
to
say, it would also be great if people could share some of their dating stories with us, and perhaps we could share them anonymously on the show.
Yeah, and obviously, as you've heard, we're not dating experts, but you know, we have had a lot of shit dates. So if anyone wants any of our opinions on it or advice,
how to trick a boy into being in a relationship with you. And if you did enjoy today's episode, we'd love if you could share it on your Insta story. So just tag us at outspoken We're also on Facebook by the same name, and we're going to be putting up some fun polls and questions and that kind of thing. So you should definitely follow us.